This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. Having faced off with Tanya Tallahassee and destroyed her home and her body, the mystery punchers are in even greater danger. Adrian killed Tanya defending Red. Red was horrified to find the town under the control of a new mayor with splinterish sheriff. And Richter decided to show his ray gun to Bobby Walkie, the ice cream arms dealer. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
So, your good pal and entirely honest, definitely not selling contraband, ice cream man, Robert Walker, is heading back outside to gear up the ice cream truck. Because the ice cream man's union is a neutral body amongst all the sort of mob, think like a little bit like the Continental and John Wick. Ice cream trucks are employed kind of throughout 1930s Mythos America to help move weapons. Robert and you have always kind of got along pretty well, so he's essentially going to put his neck out to smuggle you guys into the city into the town again in the ice cream truck. So he can deliver you to the doctor, who can hopefully solve the earworm issue.
Great.
So he goes out to start up the truck. as he does so, Red, you hear a bunch of commotion outside, and a beaten up, just barely running car comes just roaring into the parking lot, and you can see it's stuffed full of boxes, and a man kind of spills out the side, paper kind of fluttering in the air. And starts like purposefully striding towards the motel office. Richter, you see this as well, and he looks a little bit like the man that you saw in the painting. But like the happy one, not the scary spooky one.
Right.
Who you would likely entune is former mayor Gene Fairweather.
Ooh.
And are we in motion right now?
Basically, Robert has just gone to get the ice cream truck started up. So all of you are just kind of like on your way out the door, but it's okay. Not like you're in a huge rush. It was the classic, like, everybody got everything you need. Great. All right, we're all going to hop in the truck. And then this car just came screeching in.
I'll call out to him. I'll say, hello, Mayor Fairweather.
And he turns and he's like just full on like deer in the headlights. Says, I'm sorry, friend. I think you have me mistaken for someone else. My name is Harold Asman. Yeah, that's right. Harold Asman. Definitely not Gene Fairweather. A mayor? That's ridiculous. Of this town? That would practically be suicide. Why would anyone want that job? That's silly. Nope, just me. Just Harry Asman. Just checking in to the motel for a day of rest.
Mr. Fairweather, drop the bullshit, please. We know who you are, and we're on your side.
You can see the entire operatic cycle cross behind his eyes of how he could possibly carry out this clever con any further. And then his shoulders just slump. He just says, well, thank you, dear voters, but I know you love the job I've done in this fair town for so many decades, but I can't do this anymore. I can't shoulder the burden of this fucking, pardon my language, but fucking town. And if you truly love your mayor, you will let your mayor flee after he has a nice siesta.
Yeah, that sounds good. After all, there is a new man for the job now, so I understand.
Yep, totally. And you know what? Power to him. Good luck.
You'll have your rest, Mr. Fairweather, but perhaps as your last gesture to the town, you can tell us exactly what the hell is going on here. Please.
Well, truly is a shocking tale. You see, in Spain, in the middle of the day, one can take a break. They call this a siesta.
Siesta.
Now, this is a word you may not be familiar with here in America. Oh, okay. Well, so that's what is going on here. I am going to attempt my very first siesta, just a nap in the middle of the day to recharge before I start driving west until no one has ever heard of this hellhole.
Mr. Fairweather.
Please call me Gene Fairweather, former mayor.
How do I? My diplomacy is hanging by a thread here, sir. Please understand that. I am looking for answers. I am not looking for siestas. I am not looking for definitions of siestas. Now, you were the mayor of this town for a very long time, and I assume that you have some inkling of what is going on in this fucking town. And you can leave, but apparently we cannot. So I would appreciate whatever help you can give me.
And he seems to actually take stock of the three of you for the first time. You hear the cucaracha horn behind you, and Robert Walker's just kind of like gesturing, like, "Are we going?" But you see something kind of shift in Gene Fairweather's eyes, and he says, "Look, I'll tell you what. If you find taxpayers will use those tax dollars to pay for a room for old Gene on his way out of town, I'll tell you what you want to know."
You can stay in here with Devin and Senior Ice Cream.
It's probably safer.
Devin's like, wait, what now?
It's probably safer roommate, than the Devin. Room. We have more guns.
Ah. This is Mr. Fairweather, and this is the room he's not allowed to leave until he answers Red's questions.
this is the Helmfirth I know and love. Fine. And he storms dramatically in.
Now,
and he bows very deeply to the dog, and he says, "Señor."
He's not really the man for the job, but I like him.
Oh, you're one of those, huh?
No,
Mr. Fairweather, you've campaigning for re-election, yeah?
I had thought about it, yeah, but then it seemed like, well, to use your verbiage, it seemed like there was a man for the job. It seemed like someone else finally had a plan for this place. Someone who could pick up my burden.
So you did no campaigning whatsoever?
Once I realized that Tallahassee Jate intended the best for this town, I thought perhaps I could finally end my watch and hand it off to him.
How's your ear?
Fine. Not resting on a pillow for a siesta, so that's a bit of a bummer. But I also didn't get, you know, choked to death on stage. So, you know.
He takes a good
counting my blessings.
Now, Mr. Fairweather, we have an important meeting right now. I would request, since we are alone in your room and all, I would request that you stay here till we get back.
Earlier you said there are a lot of guns here. Is that correct?
There are some guns.
Does this fellow know how to use them? And he points to Devin.
Devin, yeah. Do you know how to shoot a gun?
Yes, several.
There you go.
Okay. Well, this might be the safest place for me then, till things die down a bit.
Are you expecting some unpleasantness, Mr. Fairweather?
And he just starts to like maniacally cackle. And he says, "Listen there, old timer. I don't know how long you've been in our fair town, but if you're not expecting something horrible to happen to you in Helmfirth, I really don't know what the fuck else there is to expect. It comes for all of us in the end."
Just a second. I'll be back. You guys keep doing your questions. And Adrian will go outside to go talk to Bobby for a minute.
Right. What comes from for everyone, Mr. Fairweather?
This town.
I see.
You must have noticed by now.
Oh, I notice.
Yeah.
It's slow and it's creeping and it's really pissing me off.
I understand that. That is why I am leaving. I've held this town at bay as long as I can, but now it's time for someone else to deal with it. Maybe you. I don't know. Maybe this new guy Greaves. Seems like a snake oil salesman to me.
He is a man for the job.
Gene Fairweather. Former mayor.
He is more than a snake oil salesman, and he is not the man for the job. But we are about to go see a man for a job, Richter. So we should all go with our friend outside. And we will see you as soon as we can, sir.
Sounds good. I will hopefully be less frazzled. After all, I have my heroic protector here, and I have a siesta awaiting me.
Yeah,
and then he like lays down on top of all of the papers that Devin has set up, and Devin's just like, I fucking hate this mayor. You start to make your way outside.
Yeah, so Adrian will re-enter and just go over to, and his arms are full, and he goes over to Devin, and he's like, "Here you go," and he just gives him a Tommy gun and two handguns, and then two grenades, and he's like, "Keep everybody safe. Now you're the trouble." And then Adrian will just turn around and walk out. Like, he's just gun delivery disappear.
Red, you pause for a moment, and your eyes actually kind of like meet Devin's, and you were never sure, because, you know, as with most secrets children keep, they're not necessarily as subtle as they think they are, but he seems to kind of knowingly almost like smile a bit sadly and nod to you. Because you remember that when he was little, little Addie always used to call Devin the trouble. and then you make your way outside. So all of you pile up into the ice cream truck. Are you bringing the senor with you, or are you leaving him there to help Devin hold down the fort?
We're going to leave the dog there.
I'm sorry, there are no dogs here. They're too hard only to catch because they fly away. There is a poog.
We're leaving the poog.
I will also point out, I've taken to occasionally calling Ripley a poog, and Miles gets legitimately furious every time I do it. hasn't stopped me, but...
No.
You know.
For sure.
All right. So leaving the adorable poog behind, you you pile up into the ice cream truck. And sure enough, like, this thing is, it's definitely like James Bond style hidden gun racks. So there's like just like a weird rack with cones hanging from it. But like the cones are like held up by fishing wire. Like it's very clearly fake cones. He fires up the truck and you begin to make your way sort of back into town. When you look kind of out the back window from time to time, the three of you can see there are cops kind of out on almost every corner, and they're all putting up wanted posters for Red. It is an incredibly well-drawn portrait, not dissimilar from the one you see in this very screen. Wanted posters are going up. You also see the cops kind of looking uncomfortably at men in suits who seem to be with them, who all definitely carry that distinctive mob goon flair. But definitely out in force kind of tidying things up. Robert drives the ice cream truck kind of down, literally downtown, sort of on the incline leading kind of down closer to the water, back towards where the docks are and other places. A little bit more run down, yet another area that's kind of in need of revitalization. There's a small veterinary clinic that he pulls up behind, kind of in an alleyway. And he turns around, he's like, look, a lot of the vets do this kind of work for the Ice Cream Men's Union. This guy's a bit of a card. His name is Nathaniel Gagliori. He really likes when people call him doctor or surgeon. He is neither, but he really appreciates when you give him that. He just kind of nods to Richter and he's like, listen, I still don't really know what to make of what you showed me earlier. I took some sketches. I'm going to get in touch with some of the other ice cream people. And just make some subtle inquiries, but nothing I've seen could power that. And if that's the thing that blew up those cars, and the fact that it's not rigged up to a backpack like the other one you saw, this is some spooky shit. I gotta tell you, Gagliori's got a rep for being into some spooky shit, so he might actually be able to help you with your. And he like taps his earlobe, says, "Your hearing problems there, Red."
Mm-hmm.
I'll put the word out about your ray gun, I believe Adrian called it, and we'll see what we can see. But I'm telling you, this thing shouldn't exist.
I agree with you there wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I will add that I have seen a weapon do a similar things, but it was much, much larger, and it seemed more scientific somehow. This is something else. This is more than science.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something off about this.
You might be in over your head, Robert, and if you are, there is no judgment.
And He, for the first time that you've ever actually seen him do this, he takes off his little peaked white ice cream hat puts it down on the dash, and he kind of runs his hands back through his hair. And even though he's still looking a bit rough, there's a glint in his eye, and he's like, Red, when I found out that old Ed Wynn, the ice cream man in my neighborhood, when I found out he had a bunch of guns in the back of his ice cream truck, I had two options. I could take my chocolate vanilla cone, go home, grow up to be someone who ate ice cream one time, could have had an adventure, and instead ended up working some shitty job. Or I could say, hey, Mr. Wynn, tell me about the guns, please. I chose the latter.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us in our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
I didn't get into the ice cream business to not go on fucking weird adventures. So, you know what? Let's do it. All ice cream's gotta melt sometime. Then he puts his hat back on, and he adjusts it so it's a little extra jaunty. He's like, let's go find out what this crazy fucking laser thing is, and we'll go from there. All right?
All right. Yeah.
Can I have a shotgun?
And he says, he turns around, he's like, okay, now Adrian, you don't want to have so many shotguns that you get a tummy ache. So you're going to want more than one, I know, and that's okay, but you should only take one shotgun. So, and then he, like, opens one of the racks of, like, again, ancient cracked cones, and he's like, what are you buying? and then he just points to all the guns. What kind of shotgun do you want, Ryan? Slash, knowing that shotguns were kind of limited in the 1930s.
Yeah. I think he'd probably just take a sawed-off one, where if he had to, he could, like, tuck it under an arm in a jacket or something for...
Sure, so you're going with, like, the old, like, hunting rifle that's been... The barrel's been hacked off. So it's literally just, like, it will just spray bullshit out in front of you.
Yeah, it's probably one of those, the old-fashioned, where it's like you put two shells
that's
in.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the Elmer Fudd special. Yeah. But it's basically at close range... It just pulps whatever it hits at more than a couple feet.
It's meant for building clearance. It's not meant for like sniping. Yes,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, great. Okay, cool. So he kind of looks through them, and then he finds one and kind of smiles, and he takes it off the rack and he flips it to you, and you can see that the stock on it is hand carved.
Hmm.
He's like, Adrian, do you know what that creature is? And it looks like a dolphin with a horn.
A dolphin with a horn?
You're not far off. That, my friend, is called a narwhal. It's a very strange creature. But a very fucking interesting, powerful, and unique creature. So... From one interesting, powerful, unique creature to another, treat her good, and remember, stick them with the pointy end, and then he hands you the narwhal.
And then I check which end is pointy, and it is the sawed-off end, because that's sharp, and I say, got it. And then is there like a box of shells or something I could take, I imagine?
Yeah, it's with a lot less ceremony and a lot more mercantile thing, so it's like, yeah. He does the whole, like, and now, like, here's to you. So it's a bunch of these. It takes this caliber. Try and get the red ones, not the silver ones. The silver ones look better, but they're more expensive. You don't really need it, honestly. And he just starts like, it's like you're at Home Depot. He just starts like really going into the detail work of it until Red clears her throat. And then he just kind of like shoves you some shells.
And yeah, I'm like, those go in here. That's pretty much all he walked away with.
Cool. So the three of you pile out into the alleyway. A light cloud cover starting to roll in off the bay, but luckily it doesn't smell like sulfur.
Oh.
Woo!
Minor winds. Yeah, you see a sort of a faded sign that says the Happy Scruff Veterinary Clinic.
Well, shall we go see the good doctor?
I mean, I guess so. It is odd that there is a pain in our ears, but I think you are taking it far too seriously. This can wait until after we investigate the new sheriff and find out what is going on with these strange weapons.
Yeah, Richter, you can start to feel a bit of a pressure building up in your head, and you think it's just frustration. Like, there's a lot of this, but definite headache coming on.
I think you need to... I mean, we're here, let's go, but I think you need to rethink your priorities, Red.
I wish that I could have a record of your words right now, Richter, to replay to you after we get things sorted out. Unfortunately, they'll just be in my brain forever. So, shall we go?
Recording words.
don't worry. I'll remember what he said.
Great.
I'm like a human gramophone.
An addictophone.
What? Adrian Diesel, wax cylinder. Adrian, your head's starting to hurt a little bit too.
My whole head hurts now.
Yeah, we're going. Let's go, boys. Let's go.
Because you've been picking after your ears, Eddie.
It's not my fault. The ear wants me to. And then he puts his finger back in his ear and starts digging around.
Cool. As you start walking towards the veterinarian clinic, the headaches get worse.
Hold on. I need to sit down for a moment. I apologize. I have the strangest sensation. A strong headache.
It's almost like there's something in your head.
Yeah, an ache, and it says don't go in the building.
We're going in the goddamn building, because if I have to put up with your nonsense... I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I understand that you are under forces that you cannot control.
Why don't you get the doctor surgeon to just come out or something?
I'm going to need a persuasion check from you, Red, to get these guys moving.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to make it an intimidate check, but then you checked your own tone.
I did. I saw the look on Ryan's face. That... is persuasion. That's a success.
Okay. I think for both Richter and Adrian, basically when it isn't directly about who's right for the job, you can kind of see like that is just a gap in your mind. Like you can't quite reckon with that. But when it's things adjacent to that, your brain's kind of like, oh, yeah, this extra thing doesn't make sense. If it's related to Monty Greaves being the right man for the job, totally. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. TJ, great guy. Absolutely was the right man for the job. But things like, you know, we should go in here. I guess mostly because Red's asking and you're clearly not going to get to go anywhere. Until she's appeased. Sorry, I yawned in the middle of a line. Man, that's being a tired DM fucking blows.
Come on, Grandpa. You gotta listen to the boss.
And then I'll grab his arm and help him up to follow Red.
All right, so the three of you make your way into the clinic. Robert, like, played the ice cream tune extra loud to kind of announce that someone from the ice cream men's union was coming. You walk in and you are just hit with a cacophony of meowing. And you see there is a very, very well-appointed cage with a mama cat and a litter of kittens. The mama cat definitely gives you all the look of like, yep, this is my day. Yeah, I knew that was
the Pat to Tom line that you wanted to go for.
What was it?
It's a living. It's the Flintstones special. But like legitimately, she's like, yeah, it's, you know, just
look, mother of 11. Head sprinkles is.
Sprinklets?
Yeah.
So the kittens continue to kind of fall over each other. Ryan, what is the most sprinkles Adrian has ever seen in one spot?
Well, he would have had a bunch in previous locations, depending. Probably not more than, like, he may have had as many as 20 in a house, but I don't think he's ever really seen more than 4 or 5, because when he'd turn around, he'd assume they're the same cats again.
So this is, like, a truly momentous...
Oh, this is exciting. This is very exciting. He loves sprinkles. Also, he would assume whichever one is in the center of his vision is sprinkles. So it would just be... sprinkles, sprinkles, oh, sprinkles, and then like that, just over and over again in a cycle.
All right, Adrian, you can regain 7 sanity.
Oh, that's nice.
I feel like this is your equivalent of like going to a sanatorium and getting like and just like talking to a therapist and like taking in a spa and like just getting yourself right. This is just like, oh man, so many sprinkles. They all came from me.
Tom, sprinkles is it possible to go above the number I started with?
For sanity, I believe so. Let me check. Yes.
I started at 30, so it's not like I was cleaning up.
Yep, you can, I'll say you can go up and over.
Great. My sanity is now 34.
Ooh.
I'm an unshakable rock of happiness.
see someone come out of sort of what looks like an examination room kind of off to the left. You're basically in like animal storage right now. So there's other poogs about. There's a bunch of sprinkles is. What's Adrian's word for a bunny, Ryan?
Oh, man. That's a good question. Donkey. A bunny is a donkey.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Big ears makes sense. So there's one, like, very noble-looking bunny. You see a nameplate that says Harris Bonkers on it. But as you make your way in, this man comes out, and he is wearing a full tuxedo, just like you, Adrian, but like a fancy... thin cut. This is a full-on like Crispin Glover, super thin, tall fellow. He's got sort of, you can tell that it's incredibly orange hair, but he's buzzed it kind of almost to his scalp. And he's wearing sort of like a doctor's coat over this tuxedo. And you can tell he's wearing white gloves, but they seem to be like fancy white gloves, not like doctoring gloves. He sees her and says, oh, welcome, welcome. Yes, Mr. Walker of the Ice Cream Man's Union alerted me to the fact that you might be arriving today. My name is Dr. Nathaniel Gagliori, and welcome to my practice. Please, come in, have a seat, and we will do patient intake. For we are a proper hospital here, as you can see.
Of course.
Hi, Dr. Surgeon. I got some brain worm.
Ah, well, I do know how to deal with worms. Ha ha! Ha ha! That's a little bit of veterinary humor for you.
Okay.
And Richter is like massaging his temples, just like, yeah, it's not working.
Ah, very good. Well... come in, come in. And he smiles brilliantly at you. And you notice he's missing a bunch of teeth. He gives you an otherwise winning grin and kind of gestures for you to enter a small examination room. It's definitely a veterinary examination room, so it's like a small table and like a bench for people to sit on. And on the picture, there's a picture on the wall, like a fairly badly drawn Shih Tzu. And he looks at your expressions, which listeners at home, both Tyler and Claire reacted in exactly the similar the fuck way. And he sees both your expressions. He says, "Brilliant, isn't it? This was my pride and joy. I named her Aunt Joan McDonald, after my Aunt Joan McDonald."
You included the aunt designation in the creature's name?
I have always believed that proper etiquette should be followed. She is my mother's sister by marriage. Irish trash, sure, but mother's sister by marriage, and thus aunt must be her name.
So dog is your mother's sister?
Ha, you know no, what? But they were both bitches.
Dr. Gattaiore, I appreciate a man who understands his etiquette. Now, could we continue?
Yeah, yes. You should look at Grandpa first, because his toast is more dry.
That is an analogy with which I'm not familiar. After all, I have people for that. I have never made breakfast. And then he, like, strikes a pose that he thinks rich people would strike, but it's very clear this man makes his own breakfast. Possibly somewhere in here.
If we may. To my mortality.
The inside toast.
Oh, are you close to expiring, old sir?
Statistically, yeah.
In the next few minutes. This seems like a legal problem that truly I would rather not have. After all, a malpractice suit would be terrible, a terrible black mark on my entirely legitimate practice.
Mr. Gattaiore, I can promise you that we will neither sue you nor come after you. However, if you do not treat my friend, we are going to run into some trouble.
Again, I was going to make you roll a deception check because I feel like you would come after him regardless. But then you threatened him, so let's go.
No. I didn't mean, oh, sorry. That came across as like a threat. I literally meant like the three of us will come across some trouble.
Do you want to see a narwhal?
Oh, yes. I've always wanted to see one. You know, some sailors thought. Do you pull it out?
Oh, yeah. And he's like, this is called a narwhal, and the sharp end hurts people that don't do what the boss say.
Cannot believe Robert Lee Walker Esquire would betray me in such a heinous fashion.
Please.
Fine, you cretins. I will examine you, but then leave my practice forever.
I can promise you he will never see us again.
I can't promise that. You can look where you want, but here's the money, and I'll give him $5 and say, you're a good doctor surgeon, and pat him on the shoulder.
A tear forms in his eye. Says, thank you, Papa. Sir, thank you, sir. It's very nice to hear after all these years. Oh, you're not a real doctor. You just look after the bow-wows. Well, who's laughing now, Papa? Me. I am laughing. And then he grabs his magnifying glass and he's like, so, whose ear hole shall I look in first? The old one, right? The dying guy. Great, let's do this. Richter, he goes over, as he starts to peer inside your ear, he says, I was joking earlier about having seen symptoms like this before, but this is kind of what it looks like inside. Oh Christ. He turns to you, Red, and he says, listen, I'm going to require two things from you. You have no head pain, correct?
No.
Great. I have a tincture of medical grade cocaine that I'm going to require. Three doses, please. Two for me, one will split between them. Then I also need you to get some tweezers, if you know what those look like.
I do.
And a drill. And Adrian and Richter, that's when suddenly your body seizes up. Your eyes roll back into your head. And for a moment, both of you just see darkness. And then as you blink out of it, you see what looks to be sort of a weird column of just sort of flat stone. And you see an eye looking back at you, and what looks like sort of some kind of poog with very pointed ears. You see what seems to be a bird, and they all seem to be kind of facing sideways. And Richter, you're pretty quick to realize that you're looking at hieroglyphs. And as you're kind of looking at these and trying to figure out kind of where you are, Adrian, you start to hear the sound of sand being displaced behind you. And as you turn, weaving through what seems to be an endless line of these columns, is a massive, white, multi-toothed worm.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, and all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. All hail the Mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
From the team behind the award-winning best fiction horror podcast, Nightlight. A new audio drama that brings the southern folklore of True Blood and the cosmic horror of Lovecraft Country to your ears.
You don't hear that, do you?
Afflicted is a tale of hoodoo, a demonic book bound in human flesh, and natural disasters that are anything but natural.
Which grave did you get the dirt from? Which grave?
Afflicted, a horror thriller audio drama, coming this Halloween thanks to our Indiegogo supporters. Subscribe now to get notified the moment the first episode drops.
It's happening.